Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
Hey, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Nation Radio, our focus this week, again, Oilers past, present, and future, plus the NHL's biggest stories every week. Our guest today will be Corey Graham, Oil Kings play-by-play man, about the Oil Kings, his summer, and what he's going to do after those long bus rides are over, and the draft. We'll look a little bit at the Oil Kings and some other folks that he's seen in the last little while who are eligible. Tom Benjamin from Canucks Corner will be here talking about the Canucks and their exceptional, bordering on historic season, and we'll talk about possible first-round matchups, some things to worry about, maybe some bad habits, you know, jinx. I'm only kidding. Tom Benjamin is an excellent blogger, interesting guy, and we'll look forward to talking to him later this hour. Bruce McCurdy from the Edmonton Journal's Cult of Hockey will join us just before 1 o'clock today. We'll look at the Oilers in 11-12, talk about the future, and a bit about the draft as well. And in hour two, Lauren Mullican from the Saskatoon Blades will be here. They're an Impact WHL team having a very difficult time early on against the PA Raiders. The series is tied at 2-2. We'll get some answers about what's going on there, whether Lauren Mullican is surprised, and what we can expect tonight and for the rest of that series. Jim Byers from the Oklahoma City Barons will drop by. We'll help him basically figure out the AHL standings, the playoff picture, and whether the Barons are going to go into the second season. They had a huge win last night, 7-0, after what seemed like a lifetime of difficulty scoring goals. The Oklahoma City Barons came out flying last night and won 7-0. And before 2 o'clock today, Greg Drinan from Taking Note, the best blog on the Western Hockey League, will talk about the Chilliwack situation and possibly another team moving over from the mainland. We'll check that out and more coming up on Nation Radio this afternoon. The big item today, the Vancouver Canucks are hosting the Edmonton Oilers. Pretty much nothing to play for either team. The Oilers are locked in and have a big chance at the lottery later on this month, but they're in 30th place, nowhere to go. The Canucks have little to play for as well. They've clinched the NHL's best regular season record, currently 52-17-9. Wow. That's almost Montreal Canadiens' mid-70s territory. The Canucks have fallen to Chicago, though, in the Western Conference semifinals each of the previous two seasons. And with Chicago's win last night, there's a possibility that that will be the matchup early on this year. So that's an interesting item we can talk about today. Individual honors are maybe the only reason for Canucks to show up tonight. The Sedins are in play. Henrik won his first Art Ross with 112 points last year. Daniel is in a good position to earn the award this season. Has 100 points. That's 8 more than Marty St. Louis of Tampa Bay and 9 more than Brother Henrik. Daniel has 21 points during the Canucks' 12-1-0 surge. Henrik has 17. The brothers have combined for 13 points against the Oilers this season. The Oilers are 20 games under 500, likely to be 21 tonight, but you never know. That's why they play the games. The Oilers have lost 11 straight for their worst skid since the 13-game slide in 09-10, just around the new year through to the end of January. They're out of the playoffs for the fifth straight season, and as I mentioned, they have a chance at number one overall. The Canucks have outscored the Oilers 15-7 this season, and the Edmonton has been outscored 22-7 during a five-game skid at Vancouver, allowing 9 power play goals and 22 chances. So that's the backdrop. The Oilers in action, lots of WHL playoffs, Oklahoma City, and more. We start today with our first guest, Corey Graham, Oilers Oil Kings play-by-play man, and of course, host of Sports Night Live here at Team 1260. Let's start with that. You were at the Palace Casino last night, Corey. How did that go?
No, it was a lot of fun. It was neat getting the show out on the road and checking it out. So I think the party pit looks good, and I'm looking forward to getting back there.
Yeah, they're on again tonight, by the way, if you want to drop by. And I was going to ask you, because you were, when I was listening to you, you were edging closer and closer to the table. Did you get close enough to make a bet or to...
not quite. I was thinking about it there by the end, but not quite.
You know, I was thinking about you when we were talking a little bit last night. It's an end of a long season for you, but the bus rides are finally over. Are you going to find a beach and sleep for a week?
I think that's kind of the plan here coming up a little bit later this month. I just got to kind of clear it all with the boss and figure everything out. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to maybe getting a couple of days off here and just kind of shutting it down for a bit, yeah.
What was the longest bus ride, the most difficult road trip that you had this year?
The longest was definitely the U.S. trip, but it wasn't. I don't think it was the most difficult. It was long getting there. Like it was 16 hours from here to Seattle overnight one day, which wasn't bad because you can sleep overnight on that kind of run. But once you got down to the States, all the trips were pretty close. But early in the year, when we went to Prince George and kind of up and down Chilliwack and Kelowna and down to Spokane and up to Kootenay. That was a bit of a grind, a tough trip for the Oil Kings. And yeah, that was probably the hardest one, I think. We ended up, after the U.S. trip, it's funny, we played in Everett on Saturday, and then the next Saturday we were in Brandon. So, I mean, that kind of shows you how far you can go in a week sometimes in this league.
In following the broadcast this year, I would listen and I'd be amazed at, you know, how far away you were and how many, you know, back-to-backs and all that stuff. It always amazes me, because as difficult as this year is, and it is for everybody who does, you know, junior hockey, no matter where you are, Bob Ridley announces the Medicine Hat Tigers games and drives the bus, and he's been doing it since I was in grade four. What about that guy?
Yeah, that's nuts. He's missed, I think Bob's missed one game in the history of the Medicine Hat Tigers calling games. So it's unbelievable. And yeah, he loads up the bus and drives it down. And like we followed them to Medicine Hat one day, and there's Bob Ridley driving. I'm like, there's no chance you're going to get me driving the bus after a broadcast. there's no way I would ever think of that happening. You sleep on pregame days and stuff like that. So I don't know how he does it. I mean, he's a legend in this league for a reason.
Yeah. Before we get to the Oil Kings, you grew up in Victoria, right?
Yep.
What do you think of the possibility? There are rumors going around, and we haven't, I don't think, had confirmation yet that Chilliwack may be heading over to the island. What do you think of that?
I think it's good for Victoria. Obviously, it's too bad for Chilliwack, but I think a WHL team's going to work in Victoria. I really do. I think the Salmon Kings there and the ECHL have kind of built a bit of a following. And let's face it, the ECHL, the East Coast Hockey League, doesn't work in my mind on the West Coast of Canada. So. I think there's definitely a hockey market there. The trouble with Victoria is they only really support winners. You know, they've never really kind of backed teams that were struggling. When the Cougars were really good and competing for Western League championships with Ranfier and the likes back in the day, there was a lot. It was well attended. Now, when they finished up and when I was there, they won five games one year. And basically, you could pretty much pick your seat in the old Memorial Arena. I used to go to the games as a kid. So hopefully, they get a team that's competitive. And I think they're definitely ready for junior hockey. They had the Subway Series there a couple of years ago, the Canada or the Team WHL Russia game, and it was pretty much sold out at the new building. So I think that market's ready for a Western League team, and hopefully it's going to work out good for me. I get a couple of pay trips home. It's all right.
Corey, you know that area well, and you know the Western Hockey League well. Will there be an appetite to put another team on the island?
I think so. I think that's what you're going to see. Because realistically, it's an extra ferry ride to get over there, right? Which, it's cost teams a little bit extra money. So I think you'd like to see the chance to play a game or two in Victoria, then head up the island to play in Nanaimo. And, Kelly Rudy's involved with the Nanaimo Clippers of the BCHL. And there's lots of kind of rumblings around there. What's going to happen? Nanaimo needs a new building. They've kind of dragged their feet a little bit at getting one. I remember the rumors a couple of years ago was the Western League was going to go to the island, but they had to have two teams. So I think, if you go to Victoria, and that clearly shows the city of Nanaimo that, you're ready to have a team there, that maybe they'll get things together and get an arena built or upgraded to meet WHL standards. And then, it'll be good. It'll make that a little bit more cost effective.
With Corey Graham, Oil Kings play-by-play man and host of Sports Night Live here on Team 1260 Radio. Corey, let's talk about the Oil Kings. They had a heck of a season overall, went into the playoffs, faced a tough team, and played, I thought, very well in each of the games, had a chance to win at least a few of those. How would you sum up the season overall?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. You look at this team, last year won 16 games and really kind of had a really down year last year. I'll give Bob Green credit. The GM was patient this year, didn't make any major moves, just kind of added a piece here or there, and they've really followed the plan, the Mark Pesic, their first ever draft pick, now their captain, and, he's clearly a Buffalo Sabre first rounder, and this kid's the real deal defensively. They've added Griffin Reinhart to the back end this year, and he's really kind of stepped up in his 16-year-old season and turned a lot of heads. And, the future is bright for this club. Curtis Lazar, who finished up the BC Games, breaking records of Sidney Crosby and Steven Stamkos. When you throw those two names out there with a young kid, it's pretty effective. So you look at this year, this team, just below 500. I think maybe would have liked a couple more wins. They went through a bit of a dry spell early when they couldn't really figure out their goaltending situation. Then they brought in John Groenheid from Kamloops, and he kind of really settled things down for them. So, overall, I would say definitely a success. You never want to lose in the playoffs, but it's all about the process. I think with this team, kind of like it is with the Oilers, the Oil Kings obviously a little bit ahead of the Oilers of where they're at building-wise, and I think, it builds well for next year. I think it's going to be a real good team in the Eastern Conference of the WHL.
That was my next question. There's a lot of talent returning for next season as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at their leaders, Dylan Ruch will be back, Michael St. Croix will be back, Mark Pesek I would expect back. I mentioned Griffin Reinhardt, Keegan Lowe should be back, TJ Foster. I mean, you go down the list, there's only a few guys probably moving on. The 20-year-olds, obviously, and Jordan Hickmott, Adrian Vandemosler, and Mike Peluso will be moving on in their careers. But other than that, they have a lot of young talent on this team. You know, most teams, it's their 18- and 19-year-olds that are leading the way. With the Oil Kings, it's their 17-year-olds that are really leading the way for this club. So it definitely bodes well offensively for the future. And, you know, if they can kind of find somebody to step into the shoes of Vandemosler, be that tough defenseman. They got another young kid in Mason Gertsen, a first-round pick last year, coming along as well. And his few games this year really showed that he could play that role. So, you look at this team, and they're not losing a ton. And, you know, everybody's going to get a little bit better, you hope, as they progress and get a little bit older.
Let's talk about some of the kids that are going to be or likely to be drafted. Let's begin with your opinion of Michael St. Croix.
Mike's interesting. You know, I think the big question about Mike coming into this year after leading the team and scoring as a 16-year-old was his 200-foot game. And I think really with Derek Laxtal and Steve Hamilton coming in this year, they really worked with Mike a lot to help him defensively. He's definitely got the offense. I mean, you can see that oozing out of him. This kid's got sick hands. You know, some of the moves he pulls. I think, you know, he finished the year with, 75 points in 68 games, which is pretty effective. He got banged up a little bit in the middle of the season and kind of struggled after that. He was unbelievably hot early in the year, big point totals over games and stuff like that. Really led this team early, kind of cooled off a little bit after getting hurt, but I think really kind of picked his game up heading into the playoffs. Had a goal in the playoffs as well. You know, offensively, the Oil Kings struggled in the playoffs against Red Deer. That's what's going to happen against Kemper. But, you know, I've liked what I've seen on Michael St. Croix. There are still a few things he's got to work on, obviously, at this level. But, you know, I think, you know, talking to a lot of scouts about him, there's kind of a mixed opinion. Some scouts like him higher than others, but I think everybody has a pretty good gauge on him or are fans of him.
Keegan Lowe is a guy who reminds me, in watching him, not necessarily in ability, because, I mean, I didn't see Kevin Lowe as a junior, but in terms of style and presence and the way he does things on the ice, he's mm-hmm. like looks a lot like his dad. How much has he progressed this year?
Huge. I think he was probably, from the start of the season to the end of the season, one of the most improved Oil Kings. You know, you look at, you can look at Dylan Rock and his totals offensively. He's jumped huge from last year. But just this year as a capsule, I think at the start of the year, this team went through a 9-game losing skid, and I want to say Keegan was minus 11 or so at the start of the year. It was pretty frosty back there, but he finished the year plus 33. I mean, that's pretty effective for a defenseman. Really, you know, he's not an overly offensive guy. I don't think he's ever going to be, kind of similar to Kevin, but you're right. The way he plays defensively, when he gets mean, the way he skates, even the way he looks at the puck sometimes, it reminds me a little bit of Kevin Lowe when I watch some of the old tapes. But I've really liked what he's done in the second half of the year. He played a lot with Mark Pesek, which obviously helped them gain a lot of confidence. They got the shutdown roles on a lot of teams' big lines, and 5-on-5, this team is pretty effective. It was a big part of it.
Travis Iwanek is a guy it's easy to overlook sometimes, but he's a really solid two-way winger, and he's got a chance to be drafted as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I would totally expect Travis to get drafted. You know, he might even be the first Oil King to get drafted, depending on how things go. There's a lot of teams that are very high on him, especially the job he did on Nugent Hopkins in the two home games in the playoffs. I mean, Nugent Hopkins is going to get his points, but 5-on-5, Travis did a great job of containing him. And I think he really turned a lot of heads in the playoff series. He's got a little bit of offense. He's a good penalty killer. I mean, he chipped in 16 goals this year. I think, but realistically, his role is going to be that third line checking center or checking winger. He's fairly good on the draws, and, you know, he's a tough player. He's a leader in the locker room as well, even at the 17-year-old. So I think he's probably a future captain of this team down the road. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of Travis Iwanek and what he can bring to a hockey club. And I know, talking again with a lot of scouts, that he's really high on the radar of a lot of teams.
Corey, you mentioned Dylan Rock a minute ago. He has all kinds of talent, but size may hurt him at the draft on draft day. Where do you think he's going to go?
That's interesting, you know. He's probably going to be a late-round flyer, you would think. You look at the offensive numbers, he went from 12 points last year to 78 this year. It's pretty impressive. Guy goes from, 5 goals to up to 38 this year. So he really took the next step. He's very shifty, and Alan, his compete level is unbelievable. When he goes down in the corners against two or three defensemen and a forward against him, he'll come away from a pile with a puck. And, you know, he's a guy that, the start of the year, I don't think he was on anybody's radar. Talking to some of the scouts that go to the games, there was nobody talking about Dylan Rock, but just his compete level, he was up there in game-winning goals in the Western Hockey League. He always found the puck on his stick at key moments. I think, you know, obviously there are still some things to work on for him as well, but you hope he can maybe grow an inch or two, and that would really kind of make him more attractive. But, you know, I would expect a team that, you know, likes him to maybe use a late-round pick on him. I don't think just because of the size he's going to go very early. I mean, there's a chance he doesn't get drafted, but he would definitely be a camp invite to teams. And, you know, maybe for a guy like Ruck, that would work out better. He can kind of pick and choose where he'd want to go. So we'll see what happens. But there's definitely some teams talking about him where at the start of the year there was no buzz about him.
Final question, then we'll move on to another area. Jordan Hickmott, do you think he gets drafted? And tell me about his game.
Yeah, well, he would have to sign as a free agent as a 20-year-old. So I think there are teams that have, you know, come and talk to him and about him that have liked his game as a 20-year-old. He's just been Mr. Consistent for this team. They brought him over from Prince Albert at the start of the year or just in the offseason to play his 20-year-old year here. Bob Green had familiarity with him back in Medicine Hat when before the Oil Kings had got going. Bob Green knew a lot about Jordan Hickmott. He came in and just was a leader for this team. He centered the top line most of the year with Dylan Ruck and really kind of, you know, took a lot of key face-offs as a key penalty killer, was out there in all situations, and really kind of was the rock this team needed. I think, you know, you kind of look at it, a lot of young players, but they needed that veteran guy up front, and he definitely was that. And, you know, we'll see. Obviously CIS will be an option, but I think he's going to get some looks at some pro offers at least, and we'll see what happens with him. But, you know, if he goes into a camp and plays well, you never know.
With Corey Graham, Oil Kings play-by-play announcer and host of Sports Night Live here on Team 1260, this is Nation Radio, and I'm Alan Mitchell, your host, and I wanted to ask you this question, but I waited until you had a few answers under your belt, because I assume you're pretty sick of watching Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, but how good is he and how good can he be?
Yeah, I've had my fill of him this year, especially after the last four games of that series. He's excellent. He is unbelievable. The way he sees the ice out there, and you know what, you hate dropping the name because nobody's ever going to live up to it, but he has some of the facets that Gretzky had. The way he just can see the ice and slow things down and make a play. I mean, obviously not quite to the level of Wayne, that was the most dominant player in the history of the game, but you can see when he gets the puck on his stick, the game slows down, and he'll throw the brakes on and find a guy in full stride. He'll shoulder fake a player out of the way. He finds ways to get offense going. I mean, the last game he had a goal going off his knee, which the puck was bouncing in the crease, and he made it look like he was just stopping. But clearly, you know, a kid of that talent, he was watching the puck the whole way and directed it in off his knee for a goal. And it just goes, the puck finds him at certain areas. He makes unbelievable passes. He's defensively, he's sound, he's back in his own zone. You can't knock him off the puck. I've talked to some of the Oil Kings, you know, some of the bigger guys that are used to knocking guys down, and said, you know what, you can hit him when you can get him, but you can't knock him down. He's so shifty, his core is so strong that he's just tough to get off the puck. And, you know, the other thing is it's tough to hit him because he's just so deft at getting out of the way. And, he's a complete package. The only thing I think he's got to work on realistically is faceoffs. He kind of struggled, especially in the last few games against Owanek in the faceoff dot. Lost a lot of draws, which is something, I mean, he's not an overly big kid, right? He's listed at 164 pounds, so there's definitely room to add some strength to that frame. He's just over 6 feet tall, but I'm a real big fan of his.
Well, if he has trouble on draws, he's a born Oiler, so I'm assuming that they'll take him first overall. If you had to pick, if you like were in Vegas right now and you had to bet on who is going to be the second kid out of the WHL this year that you've seen enough to make a call on, who would it be?
Oh, that's a great question. I've never really thought of the second one out of the league. I like Duncan Siemens, the defenseman in Saskatoon. I'm not sure if how high he's going to go, but I think he's probably a top 10 kid, so maybe he's there. He's just a complete package defender. I mean, that's kind of the line I've used a lot. If you can draft Nugent Hopkins and then you can trade up with that LA pick and maybe a prospect and find a way to get Duncan Siemens, I think you'd be a very successful team in the draft. So, he's kind of the name to me that's really, he's really raised his level too in the second half of the season. Now, obviously Saskatoon, man, they're loaded with talent, but, he plays top minutes for them on the power play and, plays a lot with Stephen Elliott, who was the best defenseman in the Western Hockey League, a Colorado prospect. So I would probably say him off the top of my head.
And final one, this is from, Brad Berdur, who, emailed today. I've a couple of questions for Corey Graham. The first is for Corey about Martin Marinson. How would Corey describe his game specifically? Is he good enough defensively or only an offensive player? And who would you compare to him in the NHL or players that we might know?
I guess with him, the big thing with him early in the year, he was fantastic. Obviously he's big. He's got to put some weight on. I saw him at practice, and without all the, without the game stuff around, and just watching him at practice, this kid wears the smallest pants I've ever seen. I think he might be wearing a child's small just because he's so compact. Like the guy's 6 foot, whatever he is, 6 foot six, and it's just, I couldn't believe how frail he looked on the ice. But then you watch him in the game, and man, he can hit, he can shoot the puck, his reach is unbelievable. Defensively, I mean, I haven't seen him struggle defensively, and a lot of that's just because of his size. You know, he can close on pucks and poke it away from players. The thing, though, I think from talking to people that see him more than I do in Prince George, that he really kind of hit the wall midway through the season, and you kind of expect that from some of the European guys that don't play a lot. I mean, he was up there amongst the leading scorers defensively for the first 45, 50 games of the season, and really kind of dropped off in the second half. So, you know, maybe that's a little bit of conditioning and getting used to playing the North American game. Obviously, a lot of travel in Prince George as well. So you maybe hope that next year he kind of takes that next step, whether it's in the Western Hockey League or, you know, he's eligible to go to the American League because he was drafted out of Europe. So there's always that possibility. As for guys you compare him to, I mean, just with the size, you look at a guy like Chris Pronger. He doesn't have the mean streak, I don't think, necessarily, or the size, but I think he skates better than Pronger probably did at this level. I mean, he skates really pretty well. He skates, I mean, people compare him to Chara a lot too, obviously, at this level, with Chara being a Western Hockey League guy, and people that saw Chara play at this level say that Marinson's, you know, head and shoulders ahead of where he was early in his career. Now, we'll see if that, you know, levels out later in his career, but right now, I mean, all signs point to this guy being a real effective pro.
Corey Graham, thanks so much for joining us today.
No problem. Anytime, Alan.
All right. That's Corey Graham from Oil Kings Play-by-Play and Sports Night Live every weekday evening, 9 o'clock right here on Team 1260. Coming up next, we'll talk to Tom Benjamin.